Hello again, John here. We are about to look at the scriptures. We're at that part of the service now, and we trust you were blessed by the wonderful songs that were sung. How Jesus is really unique, and that there's no one like him, and that his mercy is more than our sin. And we're going to look at a passage where that is demonstrated. In Luke's Gospel, we're back in it. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, Jesus meets a man called Zacchaeus. We're going to look at who Zacchaeus was and how he was changed. And we will then hope that God does a work in us. So I'll just read the passage and then I'll pray and then we'll get to it. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone in of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Father, we pray that you would teach us some lessons through this, that we would accept them, that we would embrace them, that we would love them, and that we would apply them to our minds, hearts, and wills. In Jesus' name, Amen. We're going to look at three aspects of this passage and then draw some lessons. We're going to look at the character of Zacchaeus, the call of Zacchaeus, and the change in Zacchaeus. The character of Zacchaeus. He was a tax man, a small man, and a curious man. He was a tax man. And not just any tax man, it says in verse 2, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. Now, we've talked about tax collectors in the Bible before, in the Gospels, as we've been looking through, but it was a long time ago, so I'll just refresh you. Tax collectors in the Bible, in the Gospels, excuse me, were seen as greedy frauds who were traitors. Greed, I mean, it's hinted at in this passage. Zacchaeus says, "If I have defrauded anyone," the tax collectors were defrauded people. They supposed the tax to Rome was 10%. We'll just use that. I don't know how much it was. Suppose it was 10%. The tax collector would charge 12%, keep the 2% for himself, and give the 10% to Rome. Rome would ask no questions. Rome got what it wanted, so Rome wasn't bothered. And Rome had an empire to run, so as long as it got what it wanted, that was all that mattered. But not only that, as we've mentioned before, Israel, or the Jewish people, were occupied by the Roman Empire. Rome had conquered Israel. So these taxes that the Jewish people were paying were paid to their oppressors. They were literally paying for their own oppression. Think on that. And this tax collector Zacchaeus was Jewish, and he was working for the enemy, oppressing the Jewish people. And not only did that, he stole from his fellow Jewish people for his own ends. That's what was going on. And Notice verse 2, he was a chief tax collector. He wasn't just any tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So he would have embodied a lot of things that the Jewish people hated at that time. Because he was a tax collector for a foreign empire oppressing Israel. We also see that he was a small man. Verse 3, he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. He was small in stature. So what did he do? Because he wanted to see Jesus, he climbed up a sycamore tree so he could get a better view. And he was a curious man. From the passage, it doesn't seem like there's any other reason other than curiosity for him to want to see Jesus. But we know that our God is a great big God, and even human curiosity he can use to his glory, and he did in this passage. How many people do we know who just out of curiosity just went to church, or went to a, in the old days, a Billy Graham crusade, or out of curiosity just read a Bible and ended up giving their lives to Jesus? God can do anything. God can do everything, and he can do anything. Even if the means is, well, we'll have a look and see what this is. Bit of curiosity, you know? And Zacchaeus was curious. So that's the character of Zacchaeus. He was an enemy, but he was curious. And we're going to look at the call of Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is up his sycamore tree, waiting to see Jesus. And Jesus came to that place, and he looked up, verse 5, and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Isn't it interesting? The Lord Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. We know that in his humanity, Jesus did not know everything. But there are special times in the Bible when God, I believe, would have given him special knowledge. So Zacchaeus is an example. You can read another example in John chapter 1 where Jesus calls Nathanael. Nathanael says to Jesus, how do you know me? He says, you know, I've never met you before. But Jesus here calls Zacchaeus. And he doesn't ask Zacchaeus, can I stay at your house, sir? I'd be honored. He says, come down, I must stay at your house today. No time to get it ready, no time to clean it up, no time to get the food prepared. Jesus just says, we have to see it today. Jesus has that royal authority from God. And indeed, Jesus knew what was going on. He knew God was about to do a wonderful work, and because he was the one sent by God to seek and to save the lost. This was his mission. And here was Jesus, led by the Spirit, to this place. And look at the reception Jesus gets for it. Look at what they say to him. Verse 7. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Notice Jesus just doesn't say, come and talk to me, Zacchaeus. He doesn't say, oh, let's have a meal, Zacchaeus. He's going to stay at his house. Maybe overnight, maybe for a couple of days. Jesus is going to settle with Zacchaeus and be with him for a long period of time. An enemy of the Jewish people. I mean, if this man was the Messiah, if Jesus was the Messiah, surely he wouldn't go and stay in the house of an enemy who was oppressing and stealing from the chosen people of Israel. Surely not. But Jesus confounded them all. Jesus was criticized several times. Think of a few chapters back in Luke chapter 15, where he tells the story of the prodigal son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin. The scribes and the Pharisees grumbled and said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. You see, the thing is here, what Jesus is being criticized for is what we praise him for, that Jesus receives sinners. So he's criticized for him. He's criticized for having a meal with him, for fellowshipping with this sinful man. who was a traitor, who was a thief, who was greedy. And we see, thirdly, the change in Zacchaeus. Verse 6, he hurried down and came down and received him joyfully. He was only curious, but God had done a work in his heart. He was quick to obey. He was quick to obey. Jesus called him. He obeyed straight away and received him joyfully. Not begrudgingly, not, oh well, if you say so. He received him joyfully. That's a changed heart. And verse 8, we see not just faith, that's faith, we see repentance. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Bishop Ryle, in his commentary on this, says, a covetous tax collector became a generous Christian. A covetous or greedy tax collector became a generous Christian. We see in this passage repentance. Repentance, genuine repentance, does say sorry, but it puts, if it can, it puts right the wrong that was done. Or maybe you haven't stolen anything. It changes. It's a work of God in the heart that changes character. So if you're an angry man or woman, if you repent, God will do a work in you to make you more gentle and kind. But repentance is seen. Salt that cannot be tasted is not salt. Light that cannot be seen is not light. Genuine repentance, and that's next month's topic, by the way, on the first Sunday of the month, repentance and faith. Genuine repentance is seen in a desire to put right the wrong and to serve God properly. So a covetous tax collector becomes a generous Christian. And Jesus commends him in verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus is called a son of Abraham. Now, physically, he was a son of Abraham, he was Jewish. But in the Bible, there's another sense. Paul writes several times in the New Testament, know that those of faith are the sons of Abraham. It says that in Galatians 3. That Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was righteous, he was justified by faith. And those who have faith in Christ are the true children of Abraham, the Old and the New Testament. We're all children of Abraham. There's one people of God. And that's what it means when it says he's the son of Abraham. Yes, he was the son of Abraham by descent, physical descent, but now he's spiritually a true son of Abraham because there's repentance, receiving of Christ, and obedience to God. So Jesus commends him. Now, what lessons can we learn from this? First off, there are several, and I'll go through as many as time will permit. The first is that there are no limits to the grace of God. No limits at all. You notice Zacchaeus was a rich man who was a thief. Now, Jesus had said several times it'll be hard for rich men to enter the kingdom of God. That's actually the previous chapter. He says, I'm just looking at it now. Verse 24 of chapter 18, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. But praise God, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This rich man, who had got wealthy through fraud and lies, was saved. And remember, covetousness, greed, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, covetousness is idolatry. It's worshipping another god. So there's greed, dishonesty, idolatry, all that, fraud, all that in this passage. And God breaks the power of sin. No sin is too great for the grace and the mercy of God. That's what we just sang. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more, stronger than darkness. New every morn, our sins they are many, his mercy is more. Indeed, to believe that your sins are too big for God to forgive is idolatry. You think you're more important than God. You think your sin is bigger than God's grace. It's not humility to think, oh, God can't forgive me. No, it's not. Humility runs to him and confesses quickly and contritely and makes amends. Grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. That's the grace of God. And we see it here in Zacchaeus. We see another lesson that if we walk the way of the gospel, there will be opposition. There will be opposition. We've talked about it. The Lord Jesus Christ was criticized because he went in to be the guest of a sinner. The terrible thing to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, that was his mission. That is his mission now being fulfilled by the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, what does it say? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to rescue sinners. He came to have fellowship with sinners. And through his grace, through his mercy, through his love, through his kindness, through his shed blood on the cross, through the Holy Spirit working in us, he came to change sinners. From one degree of glory into the next, to be more like him, to walk in the way that Jesus walked. That was Jesus' mission. To criticize him is to criticize Jesus for obeying God, because that was the mission he was given by God. It's to overthrow the whole plan of redemption. It's blasphemy. It's unspeakable sacrilege to criticize Jesus for being friends and reaching out to sinners. Do we do the same, my friend? Okay, we're not, Britain isn't occupied, but if you had a friend in church who voted for a different political party, or you had a friend in church who voted differently in a referendum, we don't talk about Brexit anymore, coronavirus has taken over the news, but do you hold it against them? Do you have resentment in your heart? Because Jewish people would have resented Zacchaeus, and Jesus broke through it. Can you work through that by the grace of God to love somebody who you profoundly disagree with on issues that are really important to you? It's not wrong to disagree, but we must disagree agreeably. Or as President Obama said, we can disagree and not be disagreeable. That's a better way of putting it. It wouldn't come to me. But that's the same point. If we walk in the way of Christ, we will at the same time be called too strict and too lenient. We'll be called self-righteous and at ease with sinners. We'll be called legalists and we'll be called antinomians, which is no law, which is anti-law. We'll be called everything, even things that contradict each other, like being legalistic, too rigid, or antinomian, too flexible. We may even get accused of being both from the same person. But that's the gospel way, my friend. We mustn't let it stand in our way. Even the rich need the gospel. Yes, we talk about the poor. It's actually a memory I have from when I went forward for ordination in 2011. We all had to give a little presentation on a subject that was important to us. And one young man, I can't remember his name, he was a beautiful young man. His face lit up. He talked about, we need to be missionaries to the rich. There needs to be missionaries in the square mile of London where all the big banks are. Because they need the gospel. They need the gospel. And it was 2011. It was only, I guess, 2.5 years after the financial crisis when the greed of those institutions nearly caused a world depression. And yes, they do need the gospel. They do need the gospel. Learn, again, another lesson. Faith and repentance, we've touched on it, but it's worth saying again. Faith and repentance are seen. They will be seen. A faith in Jesus Christ that doesn't produce any conformity to the character of Jesus Christ is not a faith in Jesus Christ. If you, my friend, have no desire to be holy, no desire to obey God, no delight in God's commands, then, my friend, you are not a Christian. If you don't grieve over your sin, if you don't long to be free from it, if it doesn't hurt when you let God down or let your friends down or break God's commands, because that's, you know, we love God and we love our neighbour, then, my friend, you need to come to Jesus like Zacchaeus did. You may not need to give money back. You may not need to confess a crime, but all our sins need to be repented of. All our sins need forsaking. And indeed, in one sense, they need to be put right. Yes, we may not have stolen anything that we have to give it back, but if we have bad attitudes, if we have critical spirits, if we have lustful thoughts, or if we're angry, if we are unforgiving, we need to repent and ask God to change us. It will be hard. It will be hard. But we trust God's grace. But though repentance is seen and faith is seen, no one is saved by repenting. Bishop Ryle mentioned in his commentary, and this is the final lesson. This is a beautiful chapter, a beautiful passage rather, that shows that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Zacchaeus had nothing to commend him to God. As we've said, he was greedy, he was covetousness, which is idolatry, so he was a worshipper of another god. He was a liar, he was a fraud, he was perhaps even taking money, taxing the poor so for his own pocket, so they may not be able to feed themselves. He was all those things, but God reached down to save him. He had nothing at all to commend himself. Nothing. He could only come empty-handed before the Lord, receive him joyfully, and then he put right what he'd done wrong. He wasn't saved because he put right those things that he'd stolen. But the fact that he had put it right was evidence that he was saved. That's the difference. That's what good works are. They are evidence of salvation. And Jesus could say, because his repentance was sincere, that he had been justified by faith. Jesus said, today salvation has come to his house. The evidence of his faith was his repentance, but he was saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because there was nothing to commend him. Nothing at all. Whatever you've done, my friend, wherever you are, you can just come to Jesus Christ, receive him as your saviour, and put right where you can what you need to do. But there is no sin so great that Jesus can't forgive. There is no sin that reaches so high that the love of God that reaches to the heavens can't overshadow it. There's no sin that the blood of Christ can't forgive. Because that was why he came. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's all him. It's all of him how we get saved. And this passage is a beautiful illustration of it. Zacchaeus had nothing, and Jesus had everything. And Jesus welcomed him into the family of God. What will you do, my dear friend? Will you receive this gift of grace, the free grace of God? Will you repent and, when necessary, put right? If you've stolen anything, put it right. Confess it and forsake it. And turn to Jesus alone for salvation, because only Jesus can rescue you, not your good works. And will you live a life of obedience to him, rejoicing in him, delighting in him? And then you too will be a son of Abraham. You'll be with the long line of people who, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, were saved to the glory of God alone. We trust these things would be true in your life, and we trust God to do a work in you, as he did the small tax man who was curious, called Zacchaeus. God bless you. Amen.